But now, vaccinations are ramping up across the country. 1 in 4 Wisconsinites are now fully vaccinated. But the latest polling from Kaiser Health News shows that 17% of Americans said they'd wait and see how the vaccines went before they got one themselves. And that's in addition to the 20% of people who say they're not planning to get vaccinated. Talking about vaccinations can be emotional. We all want to feel safe, and for some of us, that means controlling what goes in our bodies. But without enough of us getting vaccinated, it's hard to see our way out of this pandemic. We want to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. Are you concerned about getting the vaccine yourself? What's troubling you? Do you have friends or family members who are hesitating? How do you broach the issue? We're at 1-800-642-1234. We have with us Dr. Jorge Moreno, an internal medicine physician and assistant professor at the Yale School of Medicine. Dr. Moreno, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Glad you could be with us. Well, I want to start off with Johnson & Johnson, this news about the pause in vaccinations. How have you felt about this? Do you feel this is going to set back vaccination efforts?
Well, I think it could increase vaccine hesitancy across the United States. It probably will affect that. But I want to reassure listeners that, you know, there's been 7 million people about that got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And government officials, the FDA, the CDC, has been able to identify a pattern in 7 of those patients. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Out of 7 million, they were able to pinpoint 7 cases that looked a little different, and they want to have more information about it. So I think that taking a breather, taking a pause right now is the best step to get this all evaluated with time.
But do you worry at all that people will hear the kind of top line information, the headline, the Johnson & Johnson unsafe and blood clots and potential complications, and maybe not hear the more nuanced information that you're sharing, the fact that this was a 1 in a million situation? Do you worry about that as a public health communicator?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that it is concerning. You know, I think that the hesitancy has actually started to come down, and so this news does bring it up into my mind. And you know, you have to really try to communicate the message as clearly as and transparently as you can. So, absolutely, I think that there is some potential for people to have more questions. But I want to, again, reassure everyone that having questions is totally appropriate and totally reasonable. And we just have to address those questions and see what concerns people have about the vaccine.
Sure. What communities have you heard from that you're seeing the highest rates of hesitancy, not getting vaccinated?
Yeah, so I've seen, the vulnerable populations, the Hispanic population, the Black community, and also rural communities have had a little bit more hesitancy than the average American. And so I've been part of some forums where there's been groups of Hispanic Americans or African Americans, and during these forums, a lot of questions come up about vaccines and what they could do in the body and what they can interact with. And so I think that, like I said before, the questions, the concerns that these people have, the patients have, are very reasonable. And I think that we just have to find a way to address it without causing them to feel like you're giving them a sermon or giving them instructions, right? I think that they have to come to that decision on their own.
Well, Doctor, we have a caller joining us. We have Dave from Silver Lake. Thanks for calling, Dave. What's your situation?
I have my parents, they're both refusing to get vaccinated, which is scary for them because obviously I love them. They're my parents, and they're both a lot older. My dad's in his 80s, my mom's in her 70s, and it's really scary, not just also for their health, but also for, you know, my son, right before the pandemic, right in February and in March, he was hospitalized for RSV, which to this day, I still think he might have had COVID, but I'm not gonna speculate, but RSV is a severe thing that affects the lungs, and for my parents to see him go through that, he's only 2 years old, and to still refuse to be vaccinated, you know, he said.
Dave, what did they say? What did they tell you as to why?
My dad is one of those. I'm not gonna say that they're not conservatives, but they're pretty hardcore conservative, and he just refuses to acknowledge science. This has kind of always been a battle, but I never thought it would go this far to the point where he's not trusting sound science from the CDC of all things. Like, how it's just it's like this systemic denial, and it's disheartening to hear, like, that the only way is to get him to come to his own conclusion that's the right one. And it's like, it seems so, it's an uphill battle that's impossible to scale.
Right, right. Well, thank you, Dave, for sharing that experience. And it sounds tough. Dr. Moreno, what advice do you have for Dave?
Yes, so I think that some of these struggles are very real, and very, you know, people are having these discussions every day. So the way I approach having a conversation with someone that's hesitant or refusing the vaccine is to really try to pinpoint what their main concern is or main concerns are. I would really start having a conversation with Dave's parents, just like discussing what they're most concerned about. Is it the rapidity of the vaccine development? Is it that it was produced by the government? Is it, or like helped to be produced by the government? Is it that they're worried that it will interact with their medical conditions? And really try to hone in on what it is that they are potentially afraid of or very concerned about, and legitimize those concerns. Don't belittle them, and really kind of bring it full circle, right? Not only protecting them who they're older, but also protecting his son from and their family from getting the illness. So I really try to stay kind of start with listening. It's hard to not put feelings and emotions and become closed-ended and try to get them on board from the first words you try to get out, but really listening to their concerns and I especially for them. And he's right, they're older, so you know, we know that 65 and older do poorer when they have COVID, and so really emphasizing those points that, you know, that the having COVID can be more serious in patients that are older than 65. And so I really would stress that, and really focusing on their main concerns and trying to answer them or providing resources for them to get those answers for themselves.
Right, right. Those high risk, he's talking about high risk groups. So do you feel, have you seen that been effective where family members are able to convince family members to do it for them, to do it to see their grandkids or to be able to have a family gathering, bring people together? Is that persuasive?
Yeah, so I think that all the pieces combined will help. My mom had some concerns initially, and you know, off the bat, I had quick conversations and again processed my own emotions about it, and just kind of started to have those small conversations with them. And don't think that you're going to be successful with that first conversation. You have to go back and try it again in a little while later or a couple days later. But after some time and after some coaching, she had some concerns about whether the vaccine would give her COVID or the vaccine would give her would interact with her diabetes. And so myself, my sister, and some other family members, we spoke with her, and now she's fully vaccinated. She and she did it on her time, and she scheduled it with our help. And so I think it's possible. I really do think that family knows, and also having their doctor or whoever they look to for advice, their religious leaders, their pastors, whoever they really value their opinion of, to really have that conversation. And also, I really encourage people that have had the vaccine to speak about their experience with patients that are hesitant about vaccines, really discussing how what the experience was like, the scheduling process, the check-in process, the vaccine, the after the vaccine. Because if you bring that to reality, then like to that reality check, the patient might, or the person might actually really feel much more at ease going through the process.
Right. I feel like those are so many of our conversations these days. How do you get an appointment? Where'd you get yours? How did it work? How'd you feel? I feel like that's so common these days as we were talking about COVID vaccinations and reluctance and hesitancy among the population and how we can vaccinate our way out of this pandemic. We're speaking with Dr. Jorge Moreno. He's an internist and an assistant professor at the Yale School of Medicine. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. How have these conversations gone for you? Have they turned into arguments? What's been effective? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stenson for Rob Ferret. We're talking with Dr. Jorge Moreno of the Yale School of Medicine. He's got advice for navigating conversations with loved ones who may be reluctant to get vaccinated for COVID. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. Are you choosing not to vaccinate? Do you have family members who don't want to get the vaccine? Are you talking about it? How did that conversation go? 1-800-642-1234. Well, Dr. Moreno, have you encountered patients who maybe aren't really skeptical per se, but they just have questions. They don't know how to access the vaccine.
Yeah, so a lot of times, a lot of states have done online scheduling, which to millennials or like people that are very tech savvy, it's very easy to just hop on and get an appointment. But not everybody is as savvy, as tech savvy, to get on there and really figure out the system of scheduling an appointment. On top of that, there's a limited supply. Initially, there was even more of a limited supply, so a lot of people were frustrated at trying to access the portals of the various states and trying to get online. So access has been tough for certain communities, and I think that we can't assume that just because it's online, it's going to be accessible to urban communities, because some people may not have access to computers or a reliable Wi-Fi. Even in like rural areas, that might be a big problem too, where like reliable Wi-Fi may not be there. And so we have to come up with better ways to have these people connect to appointments. And so a lot of times that requires whether it's walk-in appointments at vaccination sites, evening hours so that people can access it if they work during the day, or weekend hours. And so those types of that strategy can really help create more access to patients scheduling their vaccines.
Yeah, and those websites can be tricky to navigate even with a good internet connection in the best of times. Well, we heard from Joe in Rhinelander, and he called but couldn't stay with us. And doctor, he wants to hear a convincing argument in favor of getting the vaccine. He says, they haven't been fully approved by the FDA, and he's not so sure he wants to be a lab rat. What do you say, doc?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And so so just to backtrack a little bit, the vaccine has been given to participants since March of 2020. I know we kind of forget that, but the vaccine has been around for over a year now. It just took a year to figure out all the details of how effective they were. So now we're close to 200 million people that have gotten the vaccine, and there are active ways to report side effects and various concerns from people that may have had anything. And so, like I said earlier, like these reports have there's there hasn't really been a big change in the reporting in terms of the side effects. And just to talk about Pfizer and Moderna for a second. They use a technology called mRNA, and a lot of people may get confused about mRNA and DNA and whether it interacts with their genes. But the way I explain it to patients is mRNA is kind of like showing a picture to your immune system that how to identify the coronavirus, and it's and that snapshot is memorized by your immune cells, and then you produce antibodies that really protect you against invaders like coronavirus, and that's what the purpose is. And so, after that picture is given to your body, the cell degrades it and it gets rid of it. And so that's kind of like my simplified version of mRNA and antibodies and how it works. But it's interesting that people get concerned about the effects on the body, but at this point, we've been seeing the vaccines for over a year, and they've been effective and have been safe.
Right. Well, the phone lines are filling up with folks to talk to you, Dr. Moreno. Let's go to Chris in La Crosse next. Hello, Chris.
Hi. I have a daughter who's an anti-vaxxer. She didn't vaccinate her children, and she listens to some program by somebody Kennedy, and she believes that vaccines make a ton of money for some people, and that you can't trust the government. That as long as there's profit involved in it, that you can't trust the government. I don't know how to talk to her. I don't know. And then I have another daughter who is totally into vaccines. She just had two preemie twins. And she's concerned, about having my other daughter see them, and it's a mess.
Chris, I'm sorry to hear that. Chris talking about Robert Kennedy, who has been campaigning against vaccination. Dr. Moreno, what advice have you got?
Yeah, so I think that you have to be very careful who you listen to, right? And so it's often difficult to have people just kind of switch who they listen to and follow. But I think making baby steps, like we've never had this before. Like we shut down everything for like close to a year, and it affected every part of our lives. And so if we really want to stop wearing masks and getting back into normalcy again, or like normality again, we really have to get try to use every single tool we have. We have masks right now. Now we have the vaccines as a tool. So my advice to your listener, to Chris, is really just try to create baby steps and talk to them, try to get to their concerns, because the government and the FDA is concerned about the safety of the vaccines and how to make sure that everybody is safe getting them.
Well, Doc, I'm going to try to squeeze in one more caller before we run out of
Yeah,
time with
sorry.
you. We've got Chris and Racine, who I understand actually did talk a friend into getting the vaccine. Chris, how'd you
Hi.
do it?
Hi, thank you. Yes, he said he wasn't going to do it. He doesn't believe in vaccines. And I said, okay, so you are going to be the human being that incubates the variant that mutates so that no vaccine will touch it and starts this whole deadly process all over again. And I said, or you can be part of the cure that knocks the virus out.
There you go, Chris. Thank you for that. We're short on time. Dr. Moreno, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think we have to be careful. I think that the advice, you can be very tailored to the person. And I think that the advice she gave is accurate. The more we continue to have the virus propagated, the smarter it gets, the more it will replicate, the variants will be stronger. And as we know, the variants are everywhere right now in Midwest, Northeast. And so spiking. we really have to, it's a race, right? It's a rat race. We're trying to shut down the variants at the same time. We're trying to get the vaccines to roll out.
Dr. Moreno, that is all the time we have, but thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Jorge Moreno, internist and assistant professor at the Yale School of Medicine. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, President Biden set a new deadline for withdrawing U.S. troops from Afghanistan. We'll find out what that could mean for counterterrorism efforts and for the Afghan people. We'll also talk about the surge of interest in home remodeling over the past year. That's all coming up tomorrow on Central Time.